Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening. Welcome to your weekly candidacy preparation training program. We are blessed to be able to sign on today prayerfully. Bishop is on the line. Prophet Hooks, Pastor Hooks, one of our leaders is on the line, live.
Yeah, I'm here.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. Wow, that took some doing. Well, praise the Lord. We are here in the wonderful city of Detroit at the Leadership
nice.
Conference, and we are enjoying the download from heaven, and we will definitely be sharing some of the wonderful teaching here as we are in preparation for your elevation, consecration, ordination. So we will ask if you will just open us up in prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening, O God, from all of our respective places. So Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are selected and chosen and called by you to do what you have called and created us to do. Heavenly Father, have thine own way, O God, in this organization, O God. Continue to enlighten our eyes of understanding, O God, so that we can begin to see the big picture the way you see it. O God, thank you for erasing our interpretations of what we think we know, but allowing us to experience firsthand how you want to win back this world. Thank you for every leader and candidate, O God, that would avail themselves to do your will for the expansion of your kingdom. We thank you, God. Thank you for the visionary, O God. We thank you for the gift that you have given this world, O Heavenly Father, and we bless you for that and everything that is connected to her. So, God, Holy Spirit, have thine own way tonight over the airways. Bless those who are listening. May they be sparked up to begin to look within themselves to see what you have for them. May they feel your love, O God, in every area of their lives where they feel unloved. And may they come to know you as the Redeemer of this world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Bishop. We appreciate the faithfulness of all of our committee members committed to your process. They have made great sacrifices. And we understand the importance of preparation, and we are committed to it. And so tonight we want to do a little refresher just to bring you up to speed of where we are. We talked about last week details of your time at the retreat. And at the time of the conference, your 3 days at the conference, which is mandatory, that we are asking that you all avail yourself to the entire process of the 3 days. It starts on Bishop helped me out here. I don't lie to see.
Thursday, August 16th.
That's the apostolic elder. You're always on I was like, oh, thanks. Put me on blast. August 16th through the 19th.
Thank you, Elder. Together we make a whole, okay?
The mixture radio.
In need of one another, the ministry of one another. Never underplay it as it relates to your ministry. Amen. All the notes in the world, and I don't have the date of the retreat. Oh, there it is in red. Maybe I should put my glasses on. Well, Elder Sharita, you're on the line. You can just give them a quick update. Information
okay,
for the retreat. Yes.
Okay. So pretty much just encouraging everyone that has not registered yet for the conference to please register now. It's going to be held Thursday, August 16th through Sunday, August 19th, and it is mandatory for all of the candidates, and we are encouraging the accountability partners and councils as well. It's going to be held at the Hyatt Regency Schaumburg, 1800 East Golf Road, in Schaumburg, Illinois, 60173. The conference call is 7-8. I'm sorry. It's going to be held Thursday, August 16th through Sunday, August 19th. It's going to be at the Hyatt Regency Schaumburg, and that's at 1800 East Golf Road in Schaumburg, Illinois, 60173. The cost is $70. The cost $70 per person, and that includes one complimentary banquet ticket. And then the banquet only price is $40 per person. And then if you have not made your hotel reservations, we are asking that you do that as soon as possible. Your credit card will not be charged. It is $109 per night. And that includes a hot breakfast buffet. You can make your reservations through the hotline link, which has been emailed to you, or you can call the Chicago office at 773-779-2900. And then, again, if you haven't registered, you can register through Eventbrite, and the link has been sent to you as well, or you can fill out the registration form and email it to the AEN email, which is aen.lfc@gmail.com. And that
Amen.
Is all.
And thank you so much. Amen. We want to share with you some of the time that you're going to be looking at as it relates to those 3 days. Each one of your sessions will start at 9 a.m. in the morning. There will be an hour-and-a-half break at noon, and then you will come back and have an additional 2 hours of class. And that's on Thursday and on Friday. On that Friday, it's going to look a little different because at 4 p.m. on Friday, you will have your examination, and that's going to take place in front of a council. The coordination council will administer your examination. It consists of 5 questions that you'll answer individually. Each person will answer a question, and then we will go to the next person for their questions. Your questions come from your accountability partners, so we encourage you to establish a good repertoire with your partner so that they know you, and the questions that they come, they will submit for you will be pertinent to you in areas that you are familiar with. And after that examination, and that examination is later assessed along with all of your activity on these 9 months that we've been together is based on several different areas of evaluation, which I will share with you at a later date, but just to get you to understand that everything that you do is going to be a part of your assessment. That's your phone participation, your presentations on the phone, your presentations at the conference, your paperwork, the timeliness of them, your attendance on the monthly training line, because attendance is being taken. And so if you're calling from a phone number other than the one you have submitted in your paperwork as being your phone number, you have to text me the number that you're using. We do encourage you to go and listen to the archives. If you miss a meeting, it is archived at golftalkradio.com/LFC Word Life Center, And when you listen, you need to send me a text indicating you have listened to a meeting that you had previously missed. And if you're just listening for additional information, that's fine. You don't really have to contact me as it relates to those. This information will be in a reminder email that Elder Sherita will send to you along with the times. I did stop at the evaluation, but after the evaluation, your all evening, their evening worship services, all different types of worship services will be getting you the information about those. And then on that Saturday, you will meet at 10 o'clock where you will come down in your civic attire, all black, everybody. And at that time, you will receive the putting on of the vestment of your collar, along with you be consecrated through prayer and anointing and communion in a closed session with just candidates and those that are committed to your elevation process. And then for the general public, seating will start at 11:45 in the main auditorium. You have a brief, I think, period where you can kind of greet your people after the anointing service, and then you will meet for the processional at 12:45. We will procession in, and after the services, you'll have a time of approximately 1 hour. Mandatory pictures are taken of all of the candidates in your Episcopal garments, all of the candidates in their Episcopal garments, and there's a photo session that will take place. And then the banquet will start at 6:30 p.m. Doors will be open in the pavilion to receive your guests, and that is where you will receive your articles of ordination, consecration, elevation. And so that's what your day will look like. Elder Sherita will get a information sheet out to you, and you may use this information sheet and the verbiage on it as a part of whatever invitations you would like to send to your family and friends. And we encourage you to encourage them to come to the retreat. The amount of the discount period is over, but the price is still extremely, extremely reasonable. And so we encourage you to encourage them to come out and stay at the hotel to enjoy more fully your event. And that way they will have places to go to change their clothes, to switch from one service to another, to freshen up, and that sort of thing. For visiting clergy, there will be designated areas for them to be dressed in, and anyone that you want to be a part of your vesting service, if they're clergy, you need to turn their name into the office at 773-779-2900. The best thing to do is to text it. Put it in a text, or you may send an email to my email address, pc_thornton@yahoo.com. And so we are taking you through that portion, and there is worship service on that following Sunday, and that worship service on that Sunday is facilitated by all of our newly ordained, consecrated, elevated leaders. It has in the past been a phenomenal time of impartation as you do some of your first official acts in your office of ordination, consecration and elevation with the worship service that Sunday morning at approximately 10 o'clock. That information will be given to you. Dress for the entire event is church appropriate. Women are asked not to wear pants at all. Don't even bring them, and that way you won't be tempted or caught off guard, because sometimes, you know, you don't realize you may be asked to serve, or there may be a need that God is bringing you into service, and you cannot, women cannot officiate with pants on. So we do encourage that. We will go into more detail as we get closer to the event as to what your garment, your personal garments should look like, the color stockings, your shoes, your socks, jewelry, and that sort of thing. So we do want to go forward today. That's our brief review. We do want to be able to give some assignments out, so I do hope you have your pencil and you have your notebook. You should always come to the meeting with your notebook prepared to take notes and to write down any information that is being updated for you. So I want to give out some assignments now, and I will tell you what your area is, and then you can and your date, the date you have to make your presentation. This particular group of assignments is going out based on our spiritual preparation. It is the prophetic word that Prophet Mike gave us. I don't know if he's on the line and want to chime in. I know he often is on his job, but you can just jump right in, Prophet. Otherwise, we will just give you a brief two or three words on what he brought to us as the call. It's your call. It's speaking to the Isaac and the Jacob, and it's coming out of Isaiah 9, 8 through 21. You can go to the first Block Talk training, and you can hear the full explanation of this study. And he broke it out into three parts: worthy, walking, and wrestling. And they each have scriptures related to them as it relates to where are you in this journey of God calling out of you who he has birthed in you to be. And so are you at a place of not knowing whether or not you're worthy? You're looking for the revelation of the promise and the provision for that. Or are you walking the journey and you're walking it out? God has your back. You're trusting him. You're walking on water at this point. You don't see it, but you believe it, and so you've given it up and over to him and to his hands. Or are you wrestling with your call and with what he's bringing out of you? Are you waging war for your destiny? And that will relate, will translate, and translate into worship. And so those are the three areas, and these are the individuals. The first set of presenters will be next week, and it will be Minister Cecily Miles. One moment, please. We will have Bishop, I'll get this a little later, and Bishop can bring to you his section of what he's sharing with us today. Bishop.
Amen. Am I clear over here? Okay. Well, I assume that's a yes.
Yes, I'm talking, but I'm good.
Yeah, I got you. All right. So, one of the things Overseer wanted me, good evening, everybody, bring you greetings from the beautiful state of Virginia. We have thunderstorms out here, and just want to share that with you. All right. So one of the things that we wanted to talk about, we want to talk about your portfolio. Your portfolios are typically considered to be everything about you. And so everyone has been given kind of a checklist of things to turn in. So, for example, your application, a personality test and summary, your spiritual gift assessment, your statement of faith, a conversion statement, mission, vision, and another thing that says what ministry has God called you to, define the call on scripture. Also, a relational intimacy questionnaire, emotional status form, and I think for some people, like at least group one, are defenders of faith. Group two normally does all of those things, including a theological ordination questions and things of that nature. And then there's also some books at the very end that it is advised to read, and there's a list that are put there. Now, I'm presenting all of that because I know that each and every one of you are doing, even I, is doing a package, and you want to kind of group all of those things together. Now, when the Lord gave a terminology for us maybe about a month ago in regards to spiritual investment. And spiritually investing is a quote that says a poor frog, it is a poor frog that doesn't praise its own pond. And so we want people to begin to look at, as you are putting your portfolio together, we want you to look at it from the perspective of some of you are writing an autobiography, others a biography. And so it just depends on who's writing it. But you want to tell a story. You know, the Bible says that we are, and I'm paraphrasing the scripture, we are living epistles read by all men. And so if people are reading your life, if they're looking at you, then they kind of get an idea of what your life is all about. Or look at it from this perspective. What if your life, your name was in the Bible? What would people read about you? Do you want to be like Joseph, who became a father to a Pharaoh and to a nation that helped bring deliverance for future generations? Do you want to be like a Samson, whereas you are called to be an initiator of an event? Do you want to be like a David, whereas even though you are a man after God's own heart, yet it is recorded that you committed adultery, you had a man killed, there's blood on your hands? Or you want to be like Moses, you're a deliverer, and yet still you have some spots in your life, whereas you have taken... Whereas you have taken the life of certain individuals.
Okay. Hello, is that a question?
Okay. So as you are putting this portfolio together, it really speaks to your life. And it speaks to who you are and what you are all about. Now, the undercurrent to all of this, and you're going to like it, is that most of the time, people are not aware of who they are themselves. I remember when I first engaged Labors for Christ, and I was going to the CCTI. This was, I want to say, about 2009 or even sometime. It was in the summertime. We was in a sanctuary having a class. And one of the things the apostle instructed us to do was to develop a timeline. Start from the day that you were born. Start writing down your name. Even look up the definition of your name. Ask questions about your pre-birth while you was in the womb. Did your parents want you? Was you an expected pregnancy? And jot all of those things down. Every good experience, every bad experience, and, you know, all the way up to your current age. And I did this. I took the challenge and I did it. And I found it to be very intriguing because there is some patterns that arose, and yet it helped to define the call. And that's the purpose of kind of spiritually investing in yourself. The Bible says to wage a good warfare over those prophecies. There's prophecies over you. There's prophecies, I believe, in you. And it was another one. I just can't remember at the time. But there are prophecies that are released upon your life. And if you begin to look at those things. So when I first got into the ordination process, and this will be my third time around, and I know already this isn't going to be the last. Jesus. But it's okay. And so, you know, the first time I did it, I decided to group everything together, not just what they was asking, but references. I was getting it from individuals. I put all of that in my portfolio or my book because I felt that if my life is demonstrating what I am called to, then there should be some confirmation. Some of the references were from, they wasn't from the average pastor. They was from people that I worked with. Some of them don't even go to church like that, speaking of it. And yet they wrote the reference because I wanted that to demonstrate and testify my life, not only in the church, but outside in the workplace. And so I didn't mind sharing that and putting that in the book because I want to invest. And so if there was a flaw and people are reading my life, you know, I want them to be either be encouraged to say, you know, I want to be like that, or I don't want to be like that, you know. And so that's kind of the undercurrent in investing in yourself. It's knowing who you are. You know, growing up, I thought I was kind of a weird kid. And, you know, I did some things. I thought a certain way, and it didn't necessarily fit the mold of society. And as I was investing in myself and learning about myself, it was just like, wow, oh, there was nothing wrong with me. Shoot, but I had nobody there to tell me that because they didn't know. And they wouldn't have known because people will tend to put on you their interpretation of your story. That's the basis of spiritually investing in yourself. It's taking time to share and put in your book, put this together, your conversion statement. How was you converted? Share with it. What led you to Christ? What led you to give your life to the Lord? You know, I can share with individuals, you know, I got saved in 1997. Now, I've been in church, quote unquote, all my life. I did some ministries in church all my life. I didn't make a public confession of salvation till December 31st, 1997. And, you know, to be honest, I went to the altar. It was a New Year's Eve service or watch night. And, you know, I was expecting thunder, crack, and boom. And, you know, nothing happened. I was just like, okay, I've given my life. Am I supposed to fall out or is some type of lightning from heaven comes down and, you know, electrify me in front of the people? None of that happened. They prayed. Some of the ministers was trying to provoke certain things that happened at the altar, and my parents just kindly came up there and sat my tail down. and so, you know, we talked about it, and then we moved on. And then I felt the fire burning actually in my bedroom. And this was, I just came to a place, I was standing in my bedroom, and I just said, you know, Lord, I'm really tired of living like this, and I really want to give my life to you. And I froze in my tracks in my bedroom, and I felt this fire just circling all around me. I can't even explain it. And so, but I remember those experiences like that. I remember there was a time, and I wrote this in part of my conversion statement and things like that. I remember a time that I wanted to get baptized when I was 13. But every time I would go up there or I sign up for it, it just never, ever happened. something happened, they canceled it, or we couldn't do it, or and it just seemed like, oh, all right, well, it'll happen when it happens. And then after I got saved in 97, August 15th of 1998, that's when I got baptized in the James River, actually here in the city of Williamsburg where I'm at. And so, you know, it's just things like that when you reflect on it, how I was born. I remember the stories that my parents were sharing with me about certain procedures that was done to me, certain wrong procedures at that, when I was birthed. Some of the there's doctors that was operating on me that they can't even find registered, and yet they laid knife to me. And so it's, you know, it's things like that that happen, you know, and you write all of those things down. One thing I did this year was I started, my name is Nathaniel Isaac, and it's Hebrew. And so in the Hebrew language, there are three definitions for each letter or each word in the Hebrew language. So not only does my name hold three definitions, but each letter in my name holds three definitions, a conventional, a pictorial, and a numerical number. And as I was reading it, it just really started to make sense, like, oh, my gosh. Now I know who I am, because this is who God said that I am. It's interesting because the prophet said, you know, at the beginning that, you know, one of the aspects we have to look forward to is wrestling. And wrestling is part of my walk. It's not wrestling with God, but it's wrestling with the things of this world to find God in it. And so I have to wrestle in the dark so I can pull the truth out of it. But yet, if I didn't spiritually invest in myself and being able to take time to look up each letter in my name, I wouldn't have seen that. And so, you know, those are the beauties of when you're taking time to look at what God has called you to be and created you to be. You know, in your portfolios, you want to put certificates that you got. I put my degrees in there. I put my achievements. I listed everything. I have two resumes. I have, you know, the resume that you turn into work, but I also have a resume of every job and everything that I have done. That's part of the timeline. And I add to it. And when I just look back over my life, you know, and I start to really review it, it's just like, wow, I have done a lot. You know, because sometimes we tend to forget or we tend to minimize who we are, what we have done. And that's the part of the spiritual investing. It's allowing God to be glorified through you, through me. You know, it's to be honest with yourself and to put it out on paper, your successes, what you may consider as weaknesses or failures. All of that is important. When you're, like, filling out an emotional status, you have to begin to look at where you are at currently. You know, as I look at my life and I start to realize that, you know, I have changed. You know, some people see me now more as an introvert, which I found to be weird because I thought I was always the social butterfly or whatever. But when I start to look at what I was doing back then versus now, it changed. And those are things that become important to see. Understanding, you know, as you are, as I'm in my 40s now, how my body is changing physically, my spirit is changing. I'm having all of these shifts emotionally, spiritually, and physically. And it's all happening all at the same time. You know, these are the investments that you make, not only to know about them, but to begin allowing God to minister to you in those areas, allowing Holy Spirit to show you different aspects of who you are and what He's doing. One of the hardest things is when Holy Spirit has to pull up the dirty laundry and he shows it to you, not so that you can be shameful or intimidated, because one, the scripture says, God has not given us the spirit of fear. The other scripture says, therefore there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ. So he's not condemning you, but he's showing you, oh, this is the work that and the progress that has resulted as this. But if you're afraid to look at it, then you'll miss out. Now, interestingly, my mother is going through this process this year into the office of elder. And so, I didn't present it to her. Like, you know, I knew to take her to the process, but I doubted it. I'm not going to even lie about it. I was just like, oh, I don't think she's going to be able to do it. I'm not going to even bring it up. And then, you know, Holy Spirit has a wonderful way of bringing it to the forefront. And to my expectation, now she has surpassed my expectation. She's been working on her stuff diligently. And I was taking compassion on her because of, you know, certain health conditions that were arising. But she's been working on this. And so I've been editing and working on her package, her story. And as I'm reading it, there's things about her that I didn't even know. And I was just like, wow. And so I can see myself in some areas in her. And it's just like, man, this is beautiful. But it's her story. And it's her, and she's excited about it because she's putting it out on paper. And she said she was just amazed of what she's been writing and what she's been reading. And she said it's been healing for her. And so, you know, that's that spiritual investing, taking the opportunity. You know, what we present as the AEN is guidelines. You know, here are some things that you can put in your portfolio. I mean, that's what it is guidelines. But the work comes in when we are on the phone calls, when you are answering the questions, seeing what you really think about the Word of God as well as yourself. The Bible says make your calling and election sure. You know, things are happening in this world now that the Bible says even the very elect will be deceived. And so it is so vital that as you are investing in yourself and you start to realize that, you know, God is calling you for more and nevertheless, you'll start to have an appreciation of just who you are. And once you begin praising your own pond, then others are going to start to praise your pond as well. Even if they like you or not, they have to respect it, because it's what you have put forth. And so you'd be proud of what you are working on. Look at your conversion statement. Challenge yourself. See what you really believe. See what you're passionate about. See what you're not passionate about. You know, one thing everybody has to do is a mission and a vision statement. Man, that's so important. You know, developing those areas, looking at it, what's driving me, what's calling me, you know, and it may not sound, I want to use this word, quote unquote, churchy. It may not sound traditional. It really may be something new, something new to you and something new to the world, introduced in such a different way. You know, that's how you look at your mission. What drives you in the morning? What makes you get up and say, you know what, I need to complete this? You know, what burns you when you think about it? Man, this isn't done right. And I feel like, man, if I was in charge, I would blah, 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 blah. Pay attention to all of those things. Pay attention to when you are in charge. How you respond. All of these factors is what tells the story about who you are. It reinforces why God has created you and spoke you into existence. It tells the story of your place on this earth. And I would hope that through this process, as you are putting together your portfolio, like as you are turning in your work and your the different portions, you submit it in, but begin to put yours into a book. Where as you are completing it, page after page, put a chapter to it. I encourage you, go as far as put it in a binder. And bind it. Take it to a book company, self-publish it, and put it on a shelf in your home. If you have a ministry, create a library in your ministry and put it on the library shelf so that it can be read. Let people check it out. Let people read it. If there's certain things in there that you feel may be incriminating, then don't put it in there, but at least know that you have a copy. Have your copy, but then have the copy that's public. And I don't mind making my life public to the world, because that's part of my calling, is to be a public figure. And so I can hide all I want or think I'm hiding, but the truth of the matter is people see it. And I have always been that type of person. When I ask for recommendations from people, I tell them, be honest, share the strength, share the weaknesses, you know, share where I need to grow at. Don't fluff me up and then I'm thinking one way and get out there and fall short. So put it out there so people can know, you know, because that's the challenge. The Bible says a religion that is acceptable in Timothy is, one, to take care of orphans, and two, to keep yourself from evil. So my process requires that I be transparent, because I want it to keep me from evil. I don't mind when my wife busts me out. I'm not going to say it feels good, but it's needful, because it's going to keep me from evil. You know, you see what I mean? And so that's that spiritual investing. If God is making us into his image, after his likeness, then these are the steps that are necessary to move forward. Is my time up over here?
Bishop, that was wonderful, wonderful.
Okay.
If you need more time, you can take more time.
No, it's up to you. I just didn't want to run out time if there was something else that needed to happen. I was just looking for
right,
your guidance.
Yeah, thank you, Bishop. And I pray that you take all that he has shared with you to heart. Such a powerful insight as to what this process is intended to do in your life. And so as a result of that, we do want to give some assignments out as it relates to the prophetic word that was released over this 2018 class coming out of Isaiah 9, 8 through 21. And so next week, and that's the format of our meetings, are going to include a review of past week and update of information. We will then have presentation by candidates. We'll bring a topic to you and share that with you, and then we will end with 5 minutes of questions and concerns and get your input into any area that we have shared. And so the schedule will go out by Elder Sharita of the assignments, but I'm just going to give those, especially those in May, and give you an idea of the ones that you're going to be handling. I did ask if you have something specific to let me know. Only one group of people did. This presentation has to be done with the candidate and the candidate's accountability partner. There's a candidate accountability partner. You will be expected to be on the line when your candidate does their presentation. And so if I don't call your name and your team out, it's because there are other assignments that are going to be given also as well. But these are the ones for the prophetic word. So for May 17th, Minister Cecily Miles, and I do hope I'm saying your name correctly. Correct me if I'm not, okay?
Hello?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
It's
yes.
Cecilia. You can call me Cece.
Okay, thank you so much, Cecilia Cece. All right, Minister.
Yes.
Cecilia, got it. Thank you. And welcome to the process. And you and your accountability partner, Dr. Arlette, will bring the lesson next week on wrestling, coming out of Genesis 32 and 22. The following week will be Elder Yvette Trim will be coming with Apostle Katie Pierce out of Worthy. They will be doing Worthy, Genesis 28:12-22. And that is May 24th. May 31st will be Emerging Pastor Bond, Johnny Bond, with Apostle Robert, Holiday and Elder Parker. Emerging Johnny, Pastor Johnny Barnes, Bond will be doing Walking, Genesis 31:17. And then on my birthday, June 7th, we will have the team of Davinia Anderson and Elder Young bringing the study on Worthy. They will be doing Worthy, June 7th. June 14th, our own pastor, D'Altro Ford, with Apostle Lisa Brown, will be doing Walking. Pastor Ford, Walking, Genesis 31:17. And then on June 21st will be Emerging Pastor Joseph Bibbins and Pastor James Smith on Wrestling for Emerging Pastor Joseph Bibbins. And then on June 28th, Emerging Elder Kamisha Barrett and Elder Roberta McIntosh, will present on Worthy. That's on June 28th. And then on July 5th will be Emerging Elder Buck and Minister Patricia Wright on Walking. Elder Buck on Walking. That's July 5th. July 12th will be Emerging Elder Kaita and Apostle Overton on Wrestling. So that is the lineup that we have to look forward to. You guys can start your studying and your collaboration so that you may bring forth your study. It should be approximately 5 to 7 minutes. And it needs to focus on the fact that God is calling out of you the person he has in you. As he called out of Jacob, he was speaking to the Israel in Jacob. He's been speaking to the person of your destiny for many years, and have you allowed the Lord to connect with that person? With the different topics in that area as having perhaps been part of what made you your process more difficult. Okay? So that's also on your information sheet. If you have any questions or comments, you can text me or email me or call me. Either one. So we do. We look forward to that impartation. All right. Are there any questions, concerns, thoughts?
Yes, I have a question.
Yes, please.
Hello?
Yes, state your name. Yes.
The outro for it. Hello?
Yes, ma'am. Hello?
Can you hear me? Hello? Can you hear me?
Ma'am.
Yes.
Oh,
the question.
This is crazy.
The question that I want to ask is, the kingdom children or whoever they are, will we be combined in the service as far as the consecration ordination? Will it be combined?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, it will. It is a joint session. It's going to be quite interesting, the way the apostle is preparing it. But, yes, it will be combined. And we do want to encourage you, when you start talking, there is like a 3 or 4 second delay. We really do hear you. Just talk. We're listening. Okay? All right. Good question. Any other questions or concerns?
I have another question.
Yes, I have a question.
Yes. Your name?
Brenda Winslow.
Yes, ma'am.
You didn't give me an assignment.
No, I did not. And if you haven't gotten an assignment, your assignment, anyone whose name I did not call, your assignment is going to be coming from the Ministry of One Another and Accountability. There are some areas of accountability that we want to look at scripturally, and once we've done this prophetic teaching, we will go into those, and that's when those people will be given their assignment. Okay? So check your emails, and Elder Sharita should be sending them out. Then you definitely will get an assignment.
Okay, thank you.
Not a problem at all. Anybody else?
I have another question. I wanted to know for the service for that Friday. For that Saturday for the ordination service. Do you know approximately how long will it be?
You know what? I think it's going to be extremely timely. One of the things that's going to happen, it starts at 12:45. That's to say 1 o'clock. I'm sure by 4 it's going to be coming to a close. Again, this is a very sacred time. One of the things that's going to happen is that the offices are going to come together. And because everyone is going to be vested at the same time with the different offices, and it's going to be so uniform, till it's going to look a little different from it has in the past. But I think it will allow us to flow more freely and to accomplish a lot more. The ones that are being consecrated, and we're going to talk about that because you did bring it up, and I do want to share, because I know sometimes you hear these terms and you're not really familiar exactly what does that mean. And so we are going to go through the 4 elements of levels that are going to come forth on that Saturday. So those that are being consecrated are the ones that have been separated and dedicated for a specific task. These are going to be those that are in the apostolic prophetic order. These are those that have, as Holy Spirit told the church, the early church, separate unto me Paul and sanctify them for me, consecrate them for me. And so he had a specific task. Paul had an assignment that he had to do that had never been done before, and this out of the ranks of the apostles and prophets, he was called out. This makes it an extremely reverent time, because heaven has an assignment and Holy Spirit has the orders, and he is divulging these orders to us. We are privileged to be a part of that calling out of the ranks those that have specific assignments in this season that Holy Spirit is bringing in their life. And then you have those that are being elevated. Those are individuals who have, in the past, been licensed and ordained, and they are now being called to another office, a higher office. So as those that are being sanctified and separated and dedicated in the consecration, then there are places that they were filling that now need to be filled. Now these offices, these positions now are going to be populated based on those that Holy Spirit has brought forth for the laying on of hands that will be elevated. And then those that are being ordained, again, this process is all a part of the army that Holy Spirit is preparing for the kingdom and for the war in this season for this group of people. And so those that are being ordained are those that ministers that are going to have the power and the authority to perform in the church certain rites and sacraments, such as baptism, marriages, funerals, because as this process goes and as the army grows, then those that have been groomed and brought up are now getting placed into position. And then those that are being licensed, these are those that's called out from the pews. They're going to become ministers that are going to be in preparation for the position that were birthed in them. And these ministers will be authorized to perform communion and baptism in their local assembly with an ordained office present. And they can be and would be ordained at a later time after successfully completing the credentialing process. And so pretty much those are the four areas, and those are the things that we're going to be breaking down for you as it relates to what the offices look like: minister, teacher, evangelist, adjutant, elders, pastors. I'm going up my list. Teddy Baggers. Overseers, bishops, prophets, and apostles. And under each one of those, there are many different specialties that are being called forth. Specialties that are being called forth. Just as an example, as an example, we have a pastor, and then we have those that are elevated to being apostolic pastors. So when you hear that, when you hear apostolic in front of an office, it means that office is now coming as a gift to the kingdom and not just a local assembly. It is coming, the office is becoming a gift to the kingdom and not just the local assembly. These are individuals that, and we will go into a lot more detail of all of these things emerging. You've heard us say that many times. These are individuals that have started a process, and they're in the final stage of that process and of the laying on of hands for the office that they've been emerging into. They have met all of the requirements. That's one of the things that we go over, because as Bishop was saying, if there's an area or there's something that you didn't know about, and as you start this paperwork process, these things become apparent to you, and then you share them, then it becomes our responsibility to be obedient and to seek Holy Spirit as to how do we help that person prepare for this. And this is one of the ways. So we don't just throw you in the river and you haven't learned how to swim yet, just because you have that in you, but you're not quite prepared to go forth and walk in that office and have hands laid on you concerning that office. And so that's very important. And so if you have any questions, we'll go into more detail concerning these things, but just to kind of give you a little insight as to the terminology that we're using and the offices that you have been called to. So are there any questions or concerns? Deadly quiet. Hello?
Are you all clear?
Timothy said, yes, you are. Hello? Bishop?
I'm here, Officer. I'm here.
Okay. Well, I didn't know anybody was still there. Okay. And I know we're coming Yes. Like, hello. Near the close.
Yeah, I know.
Huh?
I'll try to breathe heavily so you know I'm on a line.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much. Okay. So we're going to end the meeting. We do want to stay true to the 1 hour. Again, if you have any questions, we'll start off next week's meeting. Like we say, with the prayer and a review of what's gone on this meeting. And then what we also want to do is to share with you what your own individual areas of elevation, consecration, licensing is going to look like. Okay? So have your questions ready. And also have your research ready, because you guys, if you're being ordained as an evangelist, you should know what the Bible says about an evangelist. And if you looked up a little pat answer and wrote that down, you need this week to try to look it up and get, you know, come up with a person out of the Bible that was an evangelist. Jesus was the greatest. And what are the characteristics? What does the Bible say it needs to be? The virtue and the attributes that should come forth from an evangelist or from a teacher or from a pastor. So these are things that we're going to look at in more detail. All right? So come next week prepared to be called on. You never know. Okay? Okay. Bishop.
That sounds like some deliverance is needed.
No, he probably needs a breathing treatment. It's all that warm weather in Virginia, okay?
Yeah, he's about to hit a 90-degree mark this week.
Oh, wow. Ooh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So y'all pray for us as we are at the beach, just kind of meditating with the Lord on His goodness.
Oh, wow. You're suffering for Christ.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Somebody got to do it.
Okay, well, you know, we have some people from Texas, so I'm sure theirs is warmer than you probably. You never know.
Yeah, but they don't have a lot of water in Texas.
Oh, well,
we
know,
right?
I'm
looking at fucking junk.
All right,
I'm sorry.
There you go. Wonderful, wonderful. Amen. So if one of the male seeds will close us out in prayer, we will be grateful. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Is there anybody who would like to? Okay. Oh. Saying praise through whistling. Heavenly Father, we thank you, O God, for this glorious evening, O God. Thank you, O God, for the overseer, O God. Continue to bless her, O God. Thank you for the candidates that are on the line as they're going through their process and their paperwork. God, once again, we pray that the eyes of their understanding would be so heavily enlightened, O God. I pray that they will begin to see themselves the way you see them and the impact that you want them to have on this world. God, we love you and we thank you for those who are traveling to and fro. Give them traveling graces, O God. Put a hedge of protection around their vehicles, God, or whatever they're traveling on. And we thank you, God. Touch each and every individual's health. We know that the pollen, oh God, is traveling all over this country. But Heavenly Father, we pray, oh God, that you will clear up their lungs even now, oh Heavenly Father. And for those who are sleepless at night, oh God, allow them, oh God, to have rest without pain, oh God. God, soothe the soul. You are the balm, and we love you. Thank you, Father, and until we meet again, in Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen.